There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yo, Sat, you know where it's at?
Where? What's that? I didn't catch the drift. What's going on?
What is, no. See? I know. You're behind it. You have it, don't you?
Can you please elaborate? You know what, yeah? It's fair enough in my day-to-day. I go through, you know, stuff. People trying to accuse me of stuff. I don't expect a fellow brother like yourself to accuse me of something. I didn't take any egg. I mean, what? What? Whose leg?
See?
What leg?
I knew it. Sat E. Nyangi. The E stands for egg. You stole the egg. Give me the egg.
Okay. I need to go now. Oh, what was... What? Yeah, I'm coming.
We're talking about eggs, we're talking about zombies, we're talking about WWE Survivor Series and all the news from the weekend. This is Mocha Mondays, and this is Wrestling Daily. Hello, hello, hello. It is me, your True Hill Phenom SP3. We are live on the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel with another week of When Bourbon Meets Espresso. It is time for Mocha Mondays on Wrestling Daily. I am back once again with my esteemed colleague. He is the man that Mommy Nyangi brought into this world. Sat E. Nyangi, the Trivia King. What's going on?
Shout out to Mayor of Painesville, Dan. He's the one who suggested this. Sat E. And the E stands for... egg. Because I am a good egg. I am a great egg. I am an elite egg. Sometimes I can be a foul egg, according to my takes, sometimes. But you know what? It's Mocha Monday. We've had a heck of a weekend. So me and SB3, we did actually link up on Saturday. It was Saturday, right? We did the Survivor Series thing on Sports Kida. SB3, I mean, it's your team. You tell people what happened, because people need to see it. And not enough people seeing it. So you need to promote that before we start this. So tell them what happened. Tell them the story. Tell the good eggs the story.
I will put the link in the description below, but the Daily Boys was in full effect. Team SP3, along with Sat E, along with AMAC, Alex McCarthy, the Tribal Chief, along with our Sports Kita representative, Jose, we pulled the sweep. We had a trivia battle with Team Ricuccino. It was Ricuccino. It was John Alba. You had Phil Lindsay. You had Kevin Kellum. And not one of them was able to be one member of Team SP3. Because you know what we do on Wrestling Daily. We get dubs. We get dubs everywhere we go. So the Daily Boys pulled the clean sweep. We were Team DX at the 2006 Survivor Series. We pulled out the W because that's what the Daily Boys do. So we are 1-0. So everyone at WrestleTalk, Pete Quinnell, the new Jam That Champion, the DAD, Luke Owen.
They don't want none.
The Boss Man, Ollie Davis.
They don't want none. They don't want none.
Smoke. We done had Tempest on the show on Friday, so we're going to recruit him to the Daily Boys. We're gonna recruit him to the Daily Boys so we could be 5-on-5. We can have Steph and Tempest, and we're going to take down WrestleTalk because they not appreciated my boy Tempest the way we will at Wrestling Daily. But, yes,
so we won. So, yeah, we want the smoke. When it comes to Wednesday, it'll be 50%, you know, Wrestling Daily. And that math spells disaster for everyone else. You know, Luke Owen, congratulations on winning a championship. Now defend it outside of your realm. Defend it against Wrestling Daily. We've got enough trivia, enough charisma to carry the entire thing. Give us our shot. Stop treating us like the red-headed stepchild in the equation. We are the diamonds in the rough, and it's time that we get the recognition we deserve. But alas, what is the titular news? What is causing all this, my friend?
Well, the titular news is all about what went down at Survivor Series, and the bigger news of the night is that Vince McMahon has returned, and he's returned with Cleopatra's egg, and apparently the Raw and SmackDown rosters need to be on Raw tonight to find out who stole the magical egg. But all of you elite good eggs, drop a thumbs up on the video, share it with your friends, hit the subscribe button if you are new to the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel. 5 episodes this week, starting with Mocha Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. All episodes 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. UK. You will become an elite good egg by pushing the join button and becoming one of the members of the Wrestling Daily community. And you could become a part of the show by giving your thoughts on the weekend that was Survivor Series, the egg drama, AEW news, Kenny Omega getting stripped of the AAA Mega Champion. So we're going to talk about all of that on this episode, but we want to hear from you. WrestleTalk.com/Wrestling Daily. But let's get into the titular news set. It's all about Vince McMahon and the backstage details on Vince McMahon's egg storyline. Some backstage details have come to light. And to quickly recap what went down at Survivor Series, Vince McMahon appeared on screen during the pre-show. He comes out of the limo on the pre-show, and he has Cleopatra's golden egg from The Rock's new movie on Netflix, Red Notice. But he finds out, he even has a segment with Roman Reigns, the top star in the company, where he's explaining how it's glorious, how it's Cleopatra's egg, how it's not the real one. What? It's not the real Cleopatra's egg, because The Rock has that one, and that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. So he has a fake egg. And now we're going to make a main storyline about the fake egg. That's literally the storyline heading into tonight's Raw, that both Raw and SmackDown rosters will be at the show. And Adam Pearce has been tasked with finding out who stole the egg. Many had speculated, and PW Insider has now confirmed that this storyline is 100% a Netflix paid partnership to promote The Rock's new movie, Red Notice. Furthermore, the storyline is expected to come to an end tonight. So unless WWE pulls something on us, well, we're going to find out who stole the egg tonight on Raw. Sat, what was your thoughts on Vince's return, the debut of the egg, and what's going to go down on Raw tonight?
What I think is Vince McMahon, he had a nip and tuck, didn't he? He looks like when you drop a pancake and you tread on it a little bit and you lift it up and trying to salvage it. That's what he looks like right now. He doesn't have that aura anymore. During that whole exchange with Roman Reigns, it's just, I think because he's got that older, you know, Vince voice. It's just, that voice is not really, you know, intimidating as much. It sounds like your grandpa trying to tell you a story about when he went to the war. You know, a little bit. You know, it's like, oh, grandpa, more story about the egg. Did you meet Cleopatra as well? Did you show her the genetic jackhammer? You're very virile, right? You know what? It's better than the zombie stuff. I mean, this is the second time they've done this crossover promotion situation. The zombie one was rubbish, the lumberjack situation. At least with this, knowing WWE's track record, they won't redeem themselves with mystery. But if it was up to me during this mystery, I'd just say Elias took the egg. That's a great way to get back on TV, right? Because he's someone that disappeared. You know, they did this vignette and all of a sudden that vignette dropped. If anything, just to have Elias show up with the egg, I think will make people forgive the fact that is, you know, it's nonsense. I think the end point would justify the journey. The journey was whack. It's like all the wrestlers at gunpoint were forced to entertain Vince coming out with the egg. It was wild. It was BS, but it was goofy. It was what it was. I'm not going to get angry over it because it's kind of like, how many years we've been watching WWE? How many times do they do goofy stuff? It's on you to watch it. If you're going to get mad, it's kind of like a disclaimer. When you watch WWE, expect to get disappointed, mad, and confused. So it is what it is. What did you think, SP3?
It just feels like a bunch of tropes that WWE has always used when ratings are dropping, when fan entrance isn't where it needs to be. They have a couple of different buttons that they push I've always talked about the nostalgia button, which is on the panic. It's the biggest button on the panic button panel that Vince McMahon has is nostalgia. So he calls up Undertaker. He calls up Goldberg. He calls up Edge. All of those guys from back in the day that were stars for him. Or the second biggest button is Vince McMahon returns to TV. And then the small button on the panel is whodunit storylines. So I like the Elias explanation that you just gave because it gives a reasoning to have the whodunit. He comes back. He has a role. He could be a new thief character. He could be the new repo man. I don't know. Whatever is going to come out of that. I don't even want to get to speculating that. But it's a whodunit storyline, Sat. So you know whodunit. It's the person who always does it. They're going to call him up. It's another nostalgia button, too. You're going to call him up and be like, it's a whodunit storyline. You know we need you. You know why we call you. You know where we need you to show up underneath the ring with the rest of the people.
No, it's going to be the one, the only. Don't say that person's name.
Vince McMahon's baby boy, Hornswoggle, will be the person who stole the egg because he's always the person who did it. He was Vince McMahon's illegitimate son. He was the anonymous Raw general manager. He will most likely be the person who stole the egg.
I would rather it be Repo Man for nostalgia factor than the actual Repo Man. That would actually make the most sense that Vince... you're still below the amount needed for, you know, selling your stock. So we had to repossess the egg. You know, not enough budget cuts again.
Don't do that. So, you said you think the zombies was worse than this egg.
110%. Because I remember, it's because it took away a lot from Damian Priest against The Miz. I mean, I felt like it took away a lot of the goodwill they had from WrestleMania. They had a great tag team match. They could have had a straight up one-on-one match. And also, the Miz was murdered, right? He was eaten. And then he came back like, yeah, you know, they tried to eat me. But, you know, I have a vegan diet, so it didn't take. That would be even funny if that was the explanation. But it's just like, I remember everyone's reaction. It wasn't, this egg reaction is not as bad. It's more perplexed. It's more people side-eyeing it. People were legitimately offended. They're like, wrestling? My intelligence from wrestling. I was like, when has WWE ever been intelligent? They always insult you. Your intelligence. They always hammer, like even clues, they hammer it, they smack you in the nose with the clues. Like, I got the clue already. They smack you with it just in case you didn't get it. So this is WWE. Like I say, we've been watching this for a long time. If you're complaining, I'm like, man, have you watched WWE for the first time? It's not subtle at all. So for me, I would rather take the egg. It's silly. At least we kind of laughed at them. We didn't laugh with them. They want us to laugh with them. Oh, egg. We're like, now you idiots. You guys are a bunch of goofs. Look at your product. It's so whack. We laughed at it. But the zombie one, people were genuinely offended. The worst thing I've ever seen, blah, blah. I'm like, eh. I grew up in a new generation. Nothing ever surprises me or perplexes me.
Like, eh. Yeah, not so much. I agree with you, actually. I do think that the zombies was worse, but this is all a part of WWE using their platform to promote movies, to get in partnerships, paid partnerships to advertise and promote movies, which is great for the bottom line. Like I've said many of times, I've said here on Mocha Mondays, I've said with Alex on Wednesdays, WWE's number one concern above everything else is the bottom line. It's how much are we getting paid? How much are our profits? Who do we got to fire to make the profits? Record profits. It's not even about being in the green for them. It's about making record profits. So if they do $256 million this quarter, they're going to want to do $260 million at the very least this next quarter because that breaks their record profit. They're not going to be satisfied with $250 million, even though that's $6 million less. Like, that's where they're at. That's where they're concerned. So they're going to keep making these deals with movies to do these type of paid advertisements. So you prefer this way of doing it over what they did with the zombies.
Yeah. Can you highlight True Hill Heat Wrestling? Romeo said something funny. I like the pun. It's much better than the Madcap Moss could ever come up with. It's much more funnier.
Adam Pierce said, everyone is walking on eggshells backstage. Ha ha ha. Get it? That was from the one and only Romeo. Yes, you can see him every week on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel, including tonight after Raw with Rated Raw Superstar.
Shout out to Romeo. He's a good egg, that lad. Yeah, so SB3. So if I paid you 10 pounds, 10 English pounds to advertise this WWE pen, because you're dressed in AEW t-shirt, I see it. If I get you to advertise, I should wear my WWE t-shirt. It would have been fun if I, because from that Wembley show, you get this generic WWE t-shirt. It looks like you work there. It's literally the logo in the corner. I look like, hi, sir.
I'm just wearing the AEW shirt because, you know, of course, I get accused of being AEW show, but I was working WWE media day. So I wanted to balance things out.
You should wear that t-shirt at the event, but they would have not let you in. I mean, you already got enough oppression going on in your life. You don't need to add that on top. You know, they got already got reasons not to let you in. You know, you put on a t-shirt, you just, you know, strike gold dust for them. Yeah. So if I pay you 10 English pounds to carry this on your True Hill Heat YouTube channel, would you promote this? Because that's what it is with Vince. Because I would do the same thing. I'll promote a generic fake egg if I got paid enough money by Netflix. So I don't see any, you know, we're the one that's getting, you know, the less, we're not getting the benefits from the, you know, we're not getting the money. But Vince is a business. At the end of the day, he's got a game plan. Because he's not the Vince McMahon from 20 years ago, even 30 years ago. He doesn't really care about the product. All he cares is about the money. He wants the money, you know?
He wants some cheddar biscuits, if you will. We should talk about more news coming out of this weekend, but we want to hear from you guys. What do you think about the egg? Do you think the egg is worse than the zombies? Was the zombie worse? And why? Why do you think that? WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. We want to hear from all of you on this episode here. Before we wrap up with this story here, any other thoughts coming out of Survivor Series? What stood out the most for you, and what was your overall thoughts on the show?
Becky and Charlotte stood out for me. They had a slugfest, if you will. Becky took Charlotte to the woodshed, and Charlotte took Becky to the woodshed, and it is how it should have been, as a grudge match. It didn't start with a collar and tie-up. They went straight to it. So people argue maybe better than the Evolution match. I'm not sure. I need to watch it again, you know, to consume it again and make a decision. Damian Priest, is he turning heel? It felt like he's turning heel, even though in real life, I probably would do the same thing. I'm having a wrestling match, and there's this guy outside playing, you know, music while I'm trying to concentrate in the ring. And I don't know, because when you're fighting with fans, aren't fans chanting can get annoying? It kind of is white noise, right? It's white noise,
yeah.
Right? Does your entrance, does the opposing person's entrance music piss you off as well? I don't know.
That makes you go into a rage and bring out the Damien side.
Yeah. So I know what WWE's trying to do, but all they did is he's sensitive to hearing, and WWE is a loud sport. So I hate to break it to you, Damien, you're not going to make it in this industry if everything distracts you and pisses you off and you get to lose a purse of the money all the time. You're a champion at the moment because you have the advantage, but you can end up losing it if you don't harness your chi. But yeah, that match, Big E should have won. It is reaching that. I like Roman Reigns' title reign, but he could afford to lose. He hasn't been pinned in a while. It's not his fault. He doesn't book himself. Vince has this fascination with his long, beautiful, half Italian, half Samoan hair, and, you know, his gorgeous face and so forth. Nice pecs and tattoo. But Big E needed that victory more than Roman Reigns. He needed it more. It would have legitimized him even more in his title reign. And it would have been one loss, because, you know, for the rest of the year, he ain't losing until probably WrestleMania or onwards or whenever The Rock is ready. So Big E needed that victory. That, for me, kind of soured the ending for me, because especially with no surprise appearance of the Great One, it should have been much more happier, you know, no.
I think our Wrestling Daily sister put it best. You know, if you ever feel embarrassed about drunk texting your ex, just remember that WWE did a 4-hour tribute show for The Rock and he didn't show up.
That was Steph Chase, guys. She came up with that zinger.
go out of your way to follow Steph Chase, because she can give you zingers just like that. Yeah, I mean, I myself never thought The Rock was going to be there. But I was next to someone who is a casual WWE viewer, doesn't really watch WWE like that. And every time he heard the "If You Smell," he thought The Rock was coming out. And I talked to multiple people, multiple of my friends that came out of Barclays Center last night, and they all said the same thing. But I feel like the reasoning for Roman beating Big E is for that matchup that's going to happen not next year, but the year after at WrestleMania with him and Rock. It's also to build up Roman for a big return match with Brock Lesnar. And the only way I would have saw Big E winning was if Brock or Rock was at Survivor Series last night to cause a distraction to protect Roman. He's not going to beat Roman clean. So if you had that feeling or you wanted that to happen and you're disappointed that didn't happen, that's on you. There was never any hint that Big E was going to get a clean win.
Oh, I know that. From the moment that Roman Reigns went over to Raw and he beat two of the top guys on Raw, which is Lashley and Big E, that kind of disrespect, and there was no like receipt for it. I knew it. It's kind of like when you watch WWE today, you watch it with, cautious optimism? Or you're kind of like, it might. Watching WWE is not, it's going to be great. It might be great. It might be a good episode of Raw. It most likely could be a good episode of SmackDown. And when it's not, I thought that might happen. You know what I'm saying? So I knew Biggie's.
I had a feeling that was going
to
happen.
Hence why I went to sleep doing the Usos and RK-Bro match. I was like, Rock's not coming and Biggie's gonna lose. Why am I, I got work the next day. So,
and I don't blame you, because that battle royal was where I was like, the show was going well. I agree with you. I think Becky and Charlotte was the match of the night. I thought the 5-on-5 men's match was really good, especially the stuff with like Jeff Hardy making the comeback, stuff with him and Seth at the end was good. But that battle royal, man, I was just like, yo, who booked this card? Because I come in at 7:30 on the dot, and Damian Priest and Shinsuke Nakamura on the pre-show? I was like, I thought the Battle Royal was the obvious choice to be on the pre-show, and then they put Priest and Nakamura on the pre-show to give us that horrible finish. I mean, I understand they want to present a new character for Damian Priest, but that's not the way you finish a match that not many people were interested in. They were just interested in the fact that it's two good performers and they could have a good match. And then he gave us a lame finish. So
if I can go at it as well, Sami Zayn, I feel like he's reached his end with his heel run. There's so much they could have done with it. I would have added someone like Aaliyah to be his camera woman, you know, additional flunkies, because he's a very good character performing in addition to being a good in-ring performer. But you could tell that they've now created a ceiling as a heel, which will never get past. He is quote unquote comedy heel. And if that's the case, if that's the ceiling they're giving him as a heel, then I'd rather he go back to being a babyface, even if a neurotic one. Because towards the end, he became a neurotic babyface, which I felt like was a quite interesting take you don't see often. I miss Sami Zayn, like the real Sami Zayn. They all love it. His new entrance theme is offensive to my ears. You can't give me that intro. It's kind of like, she looks pretty from behind, and you turn him around, and that music starts playing. Oh, ghastly. Hideous music.
It's a butterface music.
Butterface music, yes. No matter how much you get him jumping around dancing, his old Scar music was incredible. I hope they're saving it for when he turns face, a la Shinsuke Nakamura, even though I prefer the rap version of his song.
They're saving for it for when he leaves. But we want to hear from all of you what you thought about Survivor Series, what you think about the Great Egg storyline, WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. We have an Ultra Chat in the chamber right here from Mayor of Painesville, Dan.
Man.
The man. Thank you so much. He says, excellent, explosive, extra, exceptional, exhausting, extraordinary.
Yeah, I'm seeing all of that.
Seriously, what is happening? This is extruding all the goodwill that is left of my soul. Wow.
Dan's one of the nicest people you would ever interact with. For him to lose all will, you've done something wrong, WWE. You're creating excrement.
My suggestion to Dan is save yourself and stop watching. That would be the best thing to do at this point.
Yeah, we have to watch this. Save yourself.
Exactly. If you're not employed to watch it, I wouldn't watch it. We other bit of news that we should touch on before we wrap things up is a bunch of Hit Row news coming out of their release. This is the first time I'm seeing you since the big releases on Thursday evening. What was your reaction to especially Hit Row being released?
Nothing matters anymore. When I saw that, I was like, so basically everyone has their limit to something, right? You know, so it's kind of like bright lights of optimism for WWE was Roman Reigns run, potentially The Rock coming back, Hit Row getting promoted to the main roster. You know, we're all fans of Swerve Shane Strickland. I have to get back to saying Shane Strickland. Top dollar, AJ Francis. I don't care what anyone says. The guy's got potential. When he's seasoning in the ring, he's got potential to be, you know, a big deal. It's just when they got released, I was like, they don't know what they're doing. The fact that apparently, you know, WWE had plans for them, then they got cold feet. Then, we got plans for you. No, you're fired. They got rid of B-Fab. The writing was already on the wall when they got rid of B-Fab and they did that hokey segment with Sami Zayn. Because I was like, that's not the Hit Row I remember. You know, at least rap, you know, they were cool. They were effortless. And they looked to make, you know, kind of like geeks. It's like, they don't know how to write for black wrestlers. That's why they need more black people in the writer's room because it just wasn't authentic. And letting them go in, you know, to be honest, I'm sad, but at the same time, I'm happy. The reason I'm happy is, Swerve can get back to what he was doing before he went to WWE. He's got exposure. That exposure helps him in terms of bargaining chip with AEW. It seems like in his mind, he potentially wants to keep the group together. I mean, you know, that group was hot. They're not all released. They can literally just get together and be a group on independence as a collective. So hopefully Tony Khan picks them up as a collective. They could be rapping. They'll be winning 6-man tag team titles. Hopefully they bring that in soon. Or even tag team titles itself. Swerve can go for the main event for the title. AJ Francis is now an untapped potential because WWE didn't really seize that potential. So I think that Hit Row or the crew, wherever they decide to call themselves, they got potential as a group. Shane Strickland's got potential by himself. But as a group, they can be a hot act everywhere they go because it's now a forbidden door. They can go to New Japan Strong and so forth. So the sky's the limit for the group, especially for Shane Strickland.
Yeah, I think Shane Strickland's going to be a must grab for any promotion once his 90 days is up in February. This comes from the Wrestling Observer Radio, and it's about confirming the big plans that Hit Row had prior to their release. Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez had a conversation about it, with Alvarez saying, I know that it wasn't that long ago, but there were big plans for Hit Row. Meltzer answered, yeah, like 2 weeks ago. Alvarez said, whatever happened, but they absolutely were collaborating on some big things, and then they were gone. Meltzer confirmed by saying, the reality is that AJ Francis, a top dollar, did rub people the wrong way, which I think doomed everyone. So that's what a lot of reports from the Wrestling Observer newsletter was saying, that AJ Francis had rubbed people the wrong way in NXT, and he was starting to do the same thing on the main roster. But it doesn't kind of
line up. It's BS.
No. Trust me. I don't want to say I know what he said is true, but I'm saying that there is smoke where there's fire on this one. What I'm saying is that it doesn't make up for basically a lot of the chaotic messages members of Hit Row got on the day of their release. Apparently, Meltzer reported on Wrestling Observer Radio as well that Thursday, they're first told that they're going to be on SmackDown, Survivor Series, and Raw, because obviously everyone's on Raw tonight. Then they're told they're off all three shows, and then they're called again and said they're back on all three shows, and then the next call they get is they're fired, and this is all on Thursday. So on Thursday, the members of Hit Row went from the understanding of they're going to be on Survivor Series and both main roster shows. Then they're told they're going to be off all shows, so they're like, oh, okay. Then they're going to tell they'll be back on all three shows, and then the end of the day, they're told they're fired. this is another instinct, what we talked about on Friday, of very WWE incompetence showing himself. What do you think about all of this, Seth?
It's the left hand not talking to the right hand and the right hand not talking to the left hand. I wasn't trying to cut you off. I didn't say you were wrong, SB3. I mean, I'll be an idiot. I've seen how the guy's Twitter game's like. Obviously, if he's tweeting like that, he must be like brash in real life. Mm-hmm. What I was trying to get at is because Riddle, right? Riddle is another guy is very outspoken. He said he can beat up Roman Reigns. You know what I'm saying? He said stuff. You're telling me that backstage there's not people seething for him. They want to see him get fired, but he's in with the right crowd. I'm just saying that AJ Francis, they're probably using, there's the same thing with Keith Lee. Oh, Keith Lee was difficult to deal with. You know, Bray Wyatt. I feel like it's like a hit piece now that he's out to give him excuse. Well, he was, you know, he wasn't liked backstage. I feel like Vince likes that kind of bravado. I don't know what happened. Because, you know, if Vince doesn't like people, you know, being outspoken, you tell me that love fest he has with HBK in the 90s, and you tell me, like, you know, well, where am I going wrong? You tell me when guys like Austin now walked out and Rock, when he loves people a bit difficult. He likes to chase. He loves to chase, you know? So I feel like there might be more to it. Incompetence, maybe. Who knows? Triple H is not there to save the day, to say, hey, guys, come back to NXT, because, you know, his power's been demoted. He's now a shell of his former self nowadays, you know, on TikTok videos or wherever he is being seen. Hey, looking at buildings.
We're going to get a mixtape from Top Dollar. That's the bright side of all this. But yeah, it's just further incompetence. And like you said, Sat, the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing. And then the last bit of news for us to cover is Kenny Omega is going to be announcing that he will be vacating the AAA Mega Champion. He has been the champion as of today for 765 days. So one of the longest reigns with the championship. But this is, of course, following up from the report that he's going to be undergoing multiple surgeries to fix all the lingering injuries that he's had over the past year, being AEW champion and the belt collector. Now that the belt collector story is over, the final belt has been relinquished. What did you think about the story by Omega?
The story about the injury or the story of him being the belt collector?
The belt collector.
We grew up in the 90s. Nothing could top Ultimo Dragon. Everyone pale in comparison. That's what I can say. In terms of how it ended, unfortunately, it wasn't on his own terms. It seemed like he was going to drop to Vikingo. I mean, that made the most obvious sense because he's a homegrown talent. Even though I wanted it to be Andrade, because I wanted Andrade to have that title success post-WWE, but he's either AEW guy. So I wanted Vikingo to beat Omega for it. But at the same time, hopefully, if they're smart enough, because Triple R, when it comes to the booking, is a bit, they can do Vikingo versus Andrade for the vacant title. And then hopefully you can have a bang of a match. But, you know, it's a shame. He's worked his ass off. He lifted so many companies on his shoulder that he needs surgery. So Kenny Omega, you know, Godspeed. Hope you get well and come back better than ever. But I hope Vikingo gets the title. So that's all I think about that. What about you, SB3?
Yeah, I do wish he was able to do that one match, because him and Vikingo, even injured Kenny Omega, we've seen can have 5.5-star matches. So him and Vikingo would have been a banger on December 4th. So it's unfortunate that he wasn't able to have that last match and give up the title the right way. But what a run he went on, 2 years as champion of AAA. And one final Ultra Chat donation from Yoka Lintner, who says, due to Hit Row being released, after great deliberations about our future, have decided to move on and have ceased all operations regarding the future of Hit Row and Nikki A.S.H. We have decided to seek opportunities elsewhere. So, Yoka Lintner, we need to find out where Nikki A.S.H., what stable Nikki A.S.H. is going to go to next. Now that she can't be with Hit Row, apparently.
She's part of what? She's part of what? Team Brutality, Super Brutality? I mean, she's part of a team already. It's just they need to do more with them. It's just that WWE tend to go with hokey comedy. That's all they can do. They think, oh, you know, Nikki A.S.H. is a bit goofy, so let's juxtapose that with a much more stern Rhea Ripley. But she's part of a team. They need to do more. They're facing a makeshift tag team, and I don't want a makeshift tag team to win, because I think Queen Zelina deserves more. She's the queen, for goodness sake. She shouldn't be down hanging out with a pleb like Carmella from Staten Island. She should be doing more than what she's doing right now. If you're the queen, you should be in the title scene, you know, mixing it up with Becky, with Doudrop, you know, with Bianca Belair. That's what I think she should be doing. I think this whole tag team thing is just wasting time. So, yeah.
That's a fair assessment. But yes, speaking of Queen Zelina and women's tag team champion Rhea Ripley, you can check out my interviews with them over on the Sports Key to Wrestling YouTube channel. Queen Zelina, we talk about if she felt Survivor Series was redemption for her missing out on the 9/11 anniversary SmackDown in September. I also asked Rhea Ripley how she felt about Nikki A.S.H. not being on the Survivor Series team. I also have interviews with Jeff Hardy, King Woods, Reggie, and Shayna Baszler up on the Sports Keto Wrestling YouTube channel right now, so you can go over and check that out. Seth, where can the people find you, not just on the Twitter machine, but also tomorrow, Wrestling Daily?
Yes, I'm on Wrestling Daily tomorrow with the esteemed Irish Chief, the landlord of this entire organization, Alex McCarthy. We're talking about the titular news. Who knows, will be maybe be the fallout of tonight's Raw. Maybe, potentially. Yay. Because you know Raw's always exciting. It's great every single week.
And Alex is going to be there live.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be there live. Okay. He's going to give his hot take on how he felt about the show. And I tell him how I felt watching it from my end in the UK. You know, just in dismay, maybe. But I hope tonight's show goes well, because tomorrow's comments are going to be positive or negative, depending. We'll see. But yeah, I'm on Sat Next To. Follow me if you want to, with consent. You don't have to if you don't want to. I mean, free will, whatever. And then Wednesday, potentially, I don't want to say it because I don't want to jinx it. Me and SP3 might be doing Quizomania. I saw on Friday you told Tempest that you would actually take a bullet for me. And I'm like, dude, man, I'll take a dive for you, man. I want. So basically, the end game is Wrestling Daily wins. I don't care if it's myself or SP3. Wrestling Daily wins. And because you've done a lot of, Quizomania, so you're Quizomania vet, to get you that victory at the end. Yeah, I just started. I have more opportunities. Maybe. Who knows, you know? So, yeah.
Either way, you're going to be seeing a lot of the Mocha Monday duo this week. I'll be back on Wednesday right here on Wrestling Daily with AMAC, Alex McCarthy, talking about the latest in wrestling news. And, of course, you'll see Sat tomorrow with Alex, or maybe me. I don't know. Alex is traveling back to the UK tomorrow. So, that just putting that out there. But this has been Mocha Mondays. And, of course, this has been Wrestling Daily.